My message this morning is given a title, Hope Rediscovered in an Empty Tomb. And to set up my message this morning, I'd like to ask you all a question. I think I know the answer. Has any of you who are here this morning ever experienced a time in your life when you felt hope waning? When you started losing hope? Something came your way and it kind of shook you up. And you lost your sea legs for a while.
But not today.
Not today. Well, I'm going to get to that, brother. That's why this is the whole setup. But you were discovered to be in a condition of discouragement and perhaps wondering if you could get through the day, if you were going to make it through the week, or even possibly thinking if you were even going to make it through your future. You know, feeling hopeless is a place for a human condition that nobody really strives to want to be. I mean, I don't know anybody who wakes up in the morning and saying, boy, I hope I have a hopeless day today. But life tends to move us in that direction because of circumstances. Things just happen. That's life itself. Jesus never said in the Word, or anywhere else in Scripture for that matter, if you are a follower of His, that you would not experience hard times, as we know all the disciples did eventually. And so I would like to suggest this morning, and I think with good certainty based on Scripture, that this is exactly the place that the disciples, the 11 remaining disciples, discovered themselves in when they were hiding out in the upper room. They were greatly discouraged. And frankly, I think all of them felt as if life was hopeless. Could you imagine? Think about it. Put yourself in their place. You have lived with, you have traveled with, you have ministered with and ministered to, you've eaten with a person like Jesus, who not only that you admired and respected and appreciated, but he was not only your friend and your brother, but he was your rabbi, he was your leader, he was your teacher. And could you imagine having traveled with this person for 3 years, every day, every night, 24/7, spending your life with him? And you're thinking, here it is, Friday, we lost him. And with him, we lost all of our dreams because he promised that he would be with us always. And he's gone. He's dead. So what hope do we have for the future? I tell you, for them, it was now hopeless. It was a time that was filled with despair and uncertainty and anxiety and fear and, yes, even pain. Because these were all the emotions that they were feeling while they were hidden out in that upper room in Jerusalem. You know, the first disciple that came to mind is somebody I find very unique. In fact, there's probably a couple of them in this church. A Peter kind of personality, right? Peter was unique. He was always doing stuff that Jesus had to grab him and pull him back. You know, he was always the guy that wanted to step out first. And here he is, just days before Jesus was put in the tomb, just days before, remember, he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and who draws a sword? But it's Peter. And he cuts off the ear of the high priest's servant, Malchus, in defending Jesus from being arrested. And Jesus tells him, put his sword away. But think about it, what kind of courage it must have taken for an individual to step up like that with an army of soldiers and temple officials and everybody else. He was bold and he was courageous. And yet we know that same night, that very same night, he denies Jesus, not once but three times, where he lacked courage. And so I thought to myself, isn't that like all of us? One day we're doing so well. You know, we're just cutting through life. We're pleasing God. We're pleasing our families. We're pleasing the people around us. And then at the next moment, we fall on our face and do something very foolish as far as a choice in life. Amen. That's one of the things I love about the scripture. These are real people. David, Joseph, Abraham, Isaac. You know, the stories you could relate to, because if they were so pious and so holy that we couldn't attain to that stature, you would be so discouraged you wouldn't even start. Peter was a real individual, a rugged, tough fisherman, and he blew it and he knew it. And so here he is. He's in the upper room. He's discouraged. He felt empty. He felt hopeless. As he's sitting in the corner of that dark room, he keeps running it through his mind over and over again. I promised my Lord I wouldn't deny him, and I denied him three times. And I heard that awful rooster crow when I denied him the third time. He was very discouraged. You know, have you ever felt like that? Maybe you broke a promise. My daughter's here. She always reminds me that I promised her a certain kind of car when she went to college. Or her senior year in high school, and I didn't come through on it. I'm sorry, Jennifer. But I came through later, and I gave her an old Toyota Corolla. And she took care of it for 5 years. But you know, I broke a promise. And you feel bad about that when you promise something. Or perhaps you disappointed somebody that you really love. And you violated a covenant or something, and you're just broken over it, thinking about, wow, I really blew it this time. There's many reasons why somebody would feel like Peter felt in that upper room, discouraged the way he did. I had a woman come in my office one time. She was completely distraught. She was in a state of hopelessness. And she just started crying uncontrollably to me and my wife on that particular day. She said, my husband just announced to me that he was leaving me for another woman. And she said, I've been faithful all these years. And she says, and now I'm going to be left alone and discarded like an old pair of shoes. And she just wept and wept and wept. And my wife will remember this. She fell to the floor and she wept on the floor until she could weep no more. That's a sense of hopelessness. Now, I tell you, you have a couple whose precious child is gone off into the far country like the prodigal son. You all remember that story, the parable of Jesus. Maybe that son or that daughter is engaged in addiction, alcoholism, drugs. It could be a number of things, hanging out with the wrong crowd. And over, these parents try to help him or her and to set them free so that they can live a healthy life. And then they reel them in and they get them the help they need, and then only to have them go back out into the far country again. And they look at each other in the living room and they say, I feel so hopeless. We've tried everything. I'm so broken. That's a Peter moment in the upper room. Or you have a family who's gathered around a loved one in a hospital room, and they're praying for a healing for that loved one, only to have the doctors come in and tell them that your loved one took a turn for the worse. And you just collapse in your seat, and you feel so hopeless. Webster's Dictionary, in part, describes hopelessness as incapable of redemption or improvement, or giving no reason to expect good or success. Imagine that. If you find yourself in a condition where you don't believe there's a chance that anything good is going to happen in your future, how wounded and broken you must feel. Giving no ground for hope, thus being desperate. Imagine that there's no reason that anything's going to change in your life. Well, I want to tell you, that's how the disciples felt. There's no reason to believe now that Jesus is gone, he's dead, he's buried, he's in a borrowed tomb, that he's not coming back, and there's no hope for us. Nothing's going to change. So return to that upper room. Visualize these disciples, once bold, walking through villages and cities and hamlets with Jesus, now cowering in a dark upper room. What? In fear that the temple police And the religious authority is going to come and break down the door and drag them to a Roman rugged cross. And they will wind up the same way their leader wound up, dying on a cross on Calvary's Hill. But I got news for you. Thank God for Sunday. Amen?
Amen.
Thank God for Sunday, for our text says that Kathy read early on that Sunday morning while it was still dark. Now, I know it was referring that it was dark outside, but I want to tell you, while it was still dark in that upper room, while it was still dark in Peter's heart and in his mind and his spirit, while it was still dark in their lives and it seemed like no light was ever going to shine on their lives again, it says Mary Magdalene heads off for the tomb of Jesus, weeping all the way, that awful tomb. But when she got there, the stone was rolled away, the burial chamber was empty, the linens that once wrapped the body of Jesus now were limp and lay flat on that stone where he once lied. Now, I don't know if that's not good news. I don't know what is, because he is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. I was hoping Bob would come back with that. You know, just like you need a good pitcher in the bullpen, I need Bob back there. The tomb couldn't hold Jesus. The tomb couldn't hold him. He is risen. The disciples will soon see him as the risen Messiah. And eventually, they'll march. They'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. And they will march out of that upper room that once held them prisoner and captive. And they will go and spread the good news of hope to the ends of the earth.
Hallelujah.
Think of that. Think of that. Once being hopeless. And now they're out there. Friends, no matter what you've walked through in your life, I'm going to tell you what Easter means. No matter where you've been, no matter what challenges you have faced in the past, maybe you're going through something now, and I'm sure many here this morning are. Or anything you may face in the future, never allow hopelessness to grip you. Never allow it. Never allow hopelessness or a spirit of aloneness or desperateness hold you captive, because for whom the Lord has set free is free indeed. And no matter what you face, you are free. And to me, that's what Easter represents. The cross couldn't hold Jesus. The tomb couldn't contain him. And by that very resurrection 2,000 years ago, you and I have the power over sin. And what does that mean, the power over sin? It means that no matter what you've committed in your life, I don't care what transgressions we may have committed in the past. And I will tell you, every one of us is a sinner. I ask this of the church all the time. Are we all sinners? Because if we weren't, this church would be empty. No matter what we may have done in our past, what the empty cross and the empty tomb says to me is that no matter what we may have done in our past, it could be forgiven and washed with the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And we also have the victory over death. So when this body gives up its spirit, and we no longer have breath in our lungs, and we transition from this life. Yes, we transition. For those who have Christ in their lives, we're not buried in the ground and turn into dust. We're transition into life eternal, because nothing can separate us from the love of God, not even death. That's what the empty cross and the empty tomb represents. And anything else that might come our way. There is no room, church. There is no place that could contain us in a state of hopelessness when we have Christ in our lives. Yes, there will be times when we're discouraged. Yes, there will be times when we're down. We'll all have that. That's a human emotion. But it shouldn't keep us there, because we have been resurrected with Christ. For hope was discovered in that empty tomb by Mary and by the others on that day, and hope is rediscovered in that empty tomb for us. And you know what? That hope of the resurrection, we're supposed to take out into the world. We're supposed to bring that hope to people who are struggling. We're not to just contain it for ourselves, but the church and the Great Commission was to go out and spread that to others who might be sensing a sense of hopelessness. I want to go back to that woman that cried herself almost asleep on the carpet in my office before my wife and I. There's good news there. She finally discovered the hope of Christ. And I want to tell you, it doesn't always work out this way, but her marriage was reconciled.
Praise the Lord.
And it was better than ever, even to this day, because she didn't lose hope. And she hung on to Christ to get her through what she was going through. So my wife puts these baskets together, and probably to the discouragement and hopelessness of our children today, these eggs are empty. But there's a reason for it. And moms and dads, when you take them home, maybe you could remind them. The kids are going to open this thinking there's coins in here or there's candy. But the whole intention of why my wife does this is that when you open it, there's a scripture inside. No, it's not a fortune cookie. And it says, "He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord was laid." Matthew 28:6. Indeed, folks, he is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. Amen. Do you have hope today?
Amen.
All right. Listen, never let life get you down. We've all been through our trials. We've all been there. We've all done that. We've all got the T-shirt. Don't let it ever hold you prisoner, ever. Because when you have Christ in your life, you are free, and you are free indeed.